It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes it off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two, live from Raiders headquarters here. JT, and we got a big hour lined up for you with the best insiders with the Raiders. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton will join us at the bottom of the hour as we'll get into the Chargers, and also Levi Edwards, as every Wednesday going forward we'll broadcast from here and it'll stream live on the Raiders YouTube channel there, so make sure you're all locked in with this. As I bring in Vinny Bonsignore, our teammate from the morning show in Vegas Nation, and Vinny, here we go. It feels like the first day of school, or the first week of school, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It felt like summer school is over with.
Yes.
Costa Mesa, and then a little bit here in Las Vegas, and now the fall semester has started, and really, you know, grades start coming.
Yeah.
And as a parent, we see that all the time. We could always go check in on the progress reports of our kids in school. I'm glad that that wasn't the case when I was in school, that my parents could check every day, but we could literally check now on a weekly basis what those grades are going to look like for the Raiders. And Antonio Pierce has talked about and reiterated it today when we spoke to him, getting off to a fast start, and that starts in Los Angeles on Sunday against the Chargers.
Well, that's what a coach is supposed to do. He's supposed to be the rah-rah guy on top of the X's and O's. We all knew that when Antonio took this job over, his job number one was going to have him be really focused and physical and ready on game day. And then for his staff to put the game plan together, and I think Getsy, who we'll get to, will do a decent job. But I think Patrick Graham and what he's worked on with this defense is going to be the reason why this team gets out of L.A. if they can with a win.
Yeah, and I think they can, without question. It's so in contrast to the previous 2 years under Josh McDaniels. Not taking anything away from Josh McDaniels, I think he felt like he had a formula that worked based on how they approached things in New England. But if you remember, it was much more of a, well, that first month of the season is sort of still trying to figure things out, which there's no doubt that the Raiders are still in figure out mode, just like every team in the league is. But the way it was presented by Josh McDaniels, because in New England they did use the first month of the season
to
kind of get things straightened out and figured out, because they always felt like they're going to get better and they're going to be there at the end. Well, there was no real track record of that here in Las Vegas, and it was a whole new situation. And so I wonder sometimes where that sense of urgency really was for the Raiders in that first quarter of the season, when your head coach is kind of talking about it as more of an extension of training camp, more of an extension of easing your way into the season and trying to figure out who you are. Whereas under Antonio Pierce, it's got to figure out who you are on Sunday, or at least to the point where over this first month of the season, you could figure out ways to win more games than you lose and not bury yourself in the hole that the Raiders kept finding themselves under in the first quarter of the last two seasons. They cannot get into that kind of a situation.
Yeah, I feel this year even more so than that, with the Ravens game looming week two and then having 9 days off. If they didn't have 9 days off and it was a regular work week, you know, you catch the Ravens, you can beat them. Any team can beat any team.
For sure.
And of course the Raiders are going to go into that game like they can win the game. But the way the schedule's set up, with both Harbaugh brothers first, the Ravens having 9 days off, it's not conducive to making it easy. And I think that puts more pressure on this game. And this game feels to me, they're never a must-win game early, but this is a very important game. It's a tone setter. And I think Harbaugh is going to look at it the same way. What are you sensing from talking to your people in L.A. on where the Chargers are? Because they had an up-and-down preseason.
Yeah, they did. And when you look at that roster, I don't think it's where Jim Harbaugh necessarily wants it to be. There's a work in progress with the Chargers. Now, in some respects, it's kind of the reverse of the Raiders in a lot of ways. The Raiders, I feel like, when you look at their collective roster, is better than the Chargers.
Yeah.
But there's one piece in a big-time way missing, and that's the quarterback, whereas the Chargers have the quarterback, and maybe the roster isn't where it needs to be or as good as the Raiders. So, there's a little bit of a contrast there. But here's what everyone should know about Jim Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh teams. Wherever the talent level is, they're going to give an honest effort. They're going to make you play physical football. They're going to force you kind of into that game and match their physicality, which, good news for the Raiders, that's exactly what Antonio Pierce wants to be about as well. That's right up their alley, and we've seen that throughout training camp, that's who they want to be. So it's like looking in a mirror from that perspective. But you're going to get a sound football team, a well-coached football team that's probably not going to beat themselves. You might be better than they are, But you're going to have to beat them because they're not going to beat themselves. So I think that's the kind of team that you have to expect you're going to see from Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers on Sunday.
When I dive into the Chargers and see Slater and Ault, and knowing that they have two really good offensive linemen, tackles that can move a pile, can block, can pick up blitzes and all that, I wonder if the Chargers with their bigger size backs are going to try to run it on the outside. Because the Raiders at times did not contain well on the outside. That's a very important aspect that I talked about with Coach today. We think of Malcolm Kuntz and Max Crosby as elite edge rushers. Mm-hmm. Well, this game might be a game where they have to set the edge and stop the run and make some plays there. With the linebackers behind them, do you think they're capable of doing that?
Yeah, and safeties as well. The Raiders play a lot of three safety look. A lot of that third safety is in run support. Also, Nate Hobbs from the off the corner is going to have to be really good in his run fits, and you know, Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo as well. And for sure, you know, somebody like Max Crosby has gotten a lot better over the years at defending the run. So. What you can't do as defensive ends, and I know Max understands this, and you know Malcolm has to sort of get there as well, is you can't forsake the run in your intent to get to the quarterback. You can't run past run plays. So Max has done an excellent job over the last few years of really, you know, figuring that out and doing a much better job against the run. He's an elite run defender now compared to what maybe early on in his career, and that's a credit to him. But Malcolm Kuntz needs to do it as well. And then you, as you said, you factor in the linebackers and then the safeties and then the run support from cornerbacks like Nate Hobbs. And so it's going to be a collective effort. That's what we probably didn't see necessarily in the preseason. I don't put too much credence into that because you had starters, you had backups, you had massive backups. It's hard to create connectivity in that kind of a scenario. You're not game planning at all. So I think this will be a much truer test of where the Raiders are from a run defense standpoint, you know, with their starters out there exclusively on Sunday.
Vinny Bonson, you're live in studio at Raiders headquarters. Who's got to get better on defense? Because that's been a big topic that I've been leading with, is that I look at Divine Diablo. Mm-hmm. He's a good player, no doubt.
Right.
He's got to get a lot better. I mean, I need to see him sideline to sideline, leaving his feet, tackling people behind the line of scrimmage. These radical big plays that most linebackers who are elite or very good have. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Merrick. He got better last year.
Definitely.
But Epps, I think, has to take that next step and maybe be more of a ball hawk. Give me two or three players on the defensive side that must improve quickly.
Yeah, and I thought for sure Divine did that last year, as did Trayvon Merrick last year. I think for Divine, it's just staying healthy. Mm-hmm. When he's on the field, he's a productive, good, solid, you know, football player, and I think that that's something that he can continue to build on. Ja'Corian Bennett, you know, I think there's a lot of, I wouldn't say pressure on Ja'Corian, but, you know, going all the way back to the beginning of training camp, that was a question mark. Who was going to step up at cornerback opposite Jack Jones? And to his credit, Ja'Corian Bennett came prepared, took that job early on and really took command of it. And I don't think it was ever a contest after that. It helped, obviously, that Brandon Faison wasn't out there. But even if Brandon had been out there, I think Ja'Corian would have been the superior player. So now does he carry that over into the regular season? You know, last year he started the season, whether he was ready or not. And you think about the cornerback room last year, it's vastly different. You had Marcus Peters and Ja'Corian Bennett starting the season, a rookie and a player that, quite honestly, no longer had it, right?
Yeah.
So now you're talking about Jack Jones, who has a potential to be a top 10 cornerback in this league, and Ja'Corian Bennett, who I think has learned from the experience of last year. He needs to get better, and he needs to do that on a 17-game consistent level. I think the backups, Tyree Wilson, Nesta Jade Silvera, you know, those types of players that are going to be in those reserve roles because those young defensive linemen are going to have to play Janarius Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have to play significant or meaningful minutes and meaningful snaps because you can't let Max Crosby continue to play the amount of snaps that he's played over the last few years. And one way to be able to do that confidently is to have capable players behind him who can step in and play the 10, 20, whatever, however many snaps you want to rest Max, and do it in a productive way and not in a way where you're holding your breath worried what might happen here. So guys like Tyree, guys like Robinson, guys like Nesta Jade Silvera need to step up their game as well.
You did a deep dive analysis on the upside here or what you believe could happen with Gardner Minshew. What do you go back and look at? Because I know we know what he did in Indy and especially Jacksonville, the comparison to Trevor Lawrence. But what could be different in this offense because of 12 personnel the young tight ends, where he can morph into this, pick it up quickly, and be really good.
Yeah, I think in his case, you know, all you have to do is take a look at what you're working with. Mm-hmm. And it's arguably the best talent that he's worked with in his NFL career. And just understand, you don't have to be Superman. Where Gardner gets himself into some issues, and this is historically so, when you look at the body of work, including last year, everyone wants to talk about how, you know, they were one game away from the playoffs. But the reality is, he also played five bad games that cut down that margin of error. It came down to one game because there were some bad games that he played that they lost. They were 1-4 in those games. So if he can mitigate those bad games, and a lot of it was just due to him trying to do too much, him maybe trying to make plays that he felt, whether he had to make those plays or maybe that's how he's wired to go, you know, take risks and try to make the big play, and mitigate that and understand you don't need to do that, not on this team. For the Raiders to really knock on the door of the playoffs, they just needed to stay within himself, take advantage of the bevy of talent that he has around him, rely on that talent, and just make the throws, hang in there in the pocket, let plays develop. That's going to require the offensive mm-hmm. line playing well as well. So it's on them to create that level of confidence for him to be able to stay in that pocket, not break it off and try to make plays outside of the pocket and running and all that type of stuff. But if he can do that, because he's shown enough times over his career that he can, mm-hmm. and make that more the norm, then the Raiders are going to be in a decent position to win enough games to make a playoff run. It's when he deviates from that where he gets himself into trouble and sometimes his team in trouble. And maybe it's just a mindset that he needs to that needs to click with him. And part of that might be just looking around and seeing what he has to work with and understanding, I just have to be, like he said in training camp, a point guard, a Steve Nash, you know, a John Stockton, somebody that just doesn't shoot a lot, doesn't score a lot, but is a great assist person and makes and facilitates for the rest of the players around him.
Vinny Bonsignore, as we wrap it up, what about Devontae? I find this very unique. Mm. It's a story, the evolution of Devontae with the background noise that he doesn't create. I don't think he creates much of the noise, but the national media is picking up on. National media is saying Netflix, is he happy, that contract, all of this. But there are some guarantees in the contract. And we just saw Ayuk and what he got paid and what a lot of other guys got paid, from Jefferson to the star receivers. I think he's still, I know he is, still a top five elite receiver in this league. I think he's happy in general here, but he doesn't have Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers. How important is this first quarter of the season to get Devontae going?
Extremely. And I know that he is happy. He's happy living in Las Vegas. He's happy being a Raider. He desperately wants to be part of how this thing gets turned around. But at the same time, he also understands he's got fewer years than more in the NFL, and he's made this quite clear. He wants to maximize the years that he still has left, and the way you do that is by winning football games and playing in meaningful football games. And here's the thing, JT. We can't unsee or unhear what we saw and heard in that Netflix series. Yeah. That was a true and accurate representation of where Devontae was at that particular time. And why was he feeling that way? Because the season was sliding away again. The quarterback play was not good. And we all saw how many times, you know, he was left almost to hang out to dry on throws that were dangerous to him. And he expressed frustration about that and anger about that. And we all heard what he said on the sidelines about maybe trying to find another place. I mean, we can't pretend like we didn't hear or see any of that. And so you mentioned the first four games of the season, and really the first, maybe let's say, six games of the season, and where it is at that point. Because I think where it is at that point is probably going to determine a lot of where he is at that point. And I don't know that anybody, if this thing were to go sideways, I'm not saying that it's going to, but it's in the realm of possibility. You can't run away from the fact that this might not turn out as good as he wants it to be, or the Raiders want it to be. And if it is, then what happens? And how is he going to react to that? And I think that it's a valid question and a real concern, and something to certainly monitor. No one's saying that it will get to that point or predicting that it's going to get to that point, but there is a possibility that it could get to that point. And what's it going to look like from his perspective when it does?
Last one for Vinny Bonsignore. Alex, the Spanos family, Dean Spanos, from his father, San Diego, the problems they had leaving that market, which I was just in San Diego, and I'm telling you, they're set to get a football team back. They want that team back because Those San Diego fans have not moved to L.A. They brought nothing along where Raider fans in Vegas brought, I'd say, millions of fans. Global Raider Nation is sold on Vegas now. Just I wanted to ask you the importance of Mark Davis and what he means to the NFL with this stadium and what the Spanos family is thinking now in L.A. as clearly the price of their franchise has gone up because the league has gone up. And what does this mean, the Spanos family and the Davis family, as we hit 2024?
Well, I think Mark Davis and the Raiders are a clear example of what is possible when you also have a partnership and a willingness to work with you from the state and city level. And I don't care how much San Diego wants football. I don't care how much they want basketball or anything else. It's never going to happen until leadership is serious about it and understands how to go about doing it. That's the only way this happens. So they could talk all the game that they want in San Diego. And I know covering that story, a lot of people said a lot of different things that never came to fruition, that you sometimes wonder how earnest they were really being when they said what they said. Same thing in Oakland. There were, I was just having a conversation last night about this with somebody in terms of, I would tape interviews with leaders in San Diego or in Oakland, and you go back and transcribe what they said, and you realize they didn't say anything at all. Like, they were talking and they said words, but in reality what they said was, it was like a vampire looking at himself in a mirror, and there's no reflection. There was nothing there. It was just gobbledygook politician talk. So nothing's going to happen until they get the leadership taken care of and be earnest about wanting that. That's what we saw here in Las Vegas and Nevada. They were serious about it. They made it happen. And Mark Davis and his team, to their credit, presented a great opportunity for the state of Nevada and the city of Las Vegas that was compelling and kind of a no-brainer. And look how beautiful that thing's worked out. I don't know if you watched the USC-LSU game. That stadium was rocking. There were fans from Louisiana, everywhere else, Los Angeles. It was just a great weekend for Las Vegas. But, you know, what that means for – there's no doubt that Mark Davis is in a much better place than, you know, unfortunately for the Spanos family. They're, you know, the second fiddle in Los Angeles, really third when you put the Raiders in there, in their own building, quote unquote. They're definitely second fiddle. That's Stan Kroenke's building at SoFi Stadium, whereas Mark Davis is first, last, middle, everything here with the at Allegiant Stadium. This is his baby. And so it couldn't have worked out better for the Raiders. You know, I think that obviously they wanted to stay in Oakland. It just never was able to work out. And we saw it yesterday, I think it was, the deal went through. Mm-hmm. Oakland selling the land. And after all of that.
Incredible.
After all of that, Oakland just sells to by the way, pay for the debt that they created. The city of, don't ever misunderstand. You know, a lot of people wanted to put that on the Raiders, the debt that the city of Oakland, it was all their own doing. And as the years go on, the facts will come out about that. That was just poor mismanagement by the city of Oakland. But if you're Mark Davis, you're sitting pretty right now. Obviously, he wants to win games and win the Super Bowl, and that's a goal that they will continue to push forward to and fight for. But in terms of everything else, the Raiders are in a great, great position.
Let's thank your proud partners as we wrap it up.
Yep, absolutely. Dos Catas Tequila. If you want to load up with some Dos Catas Tequila before the big game tomorrow night, there's football tomorrow.
Yeah, there
KT,
is. Thursday
and this weekend
football.
With the Raiders in Los Angeles, Lee's Liquor and also Total Wine. Both establishments here in Las Vegas have all the Dos Catas labels. And also, if you're not here, just go to doscatasspirits.com. And you can make your order online and have it shipped wherever you want at doscatasspirits.com.
Thank you, Vinny. Appreciate it.
Thank you, JT.
We're thrilled to have Vinny here with us on Wednesdays as we recap this and we come up on YouTube coming next week. When we come back, two more guests. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton will join us and Levi Edwards in studio as we're looking ahead to the Chargers, breaking down what they're doing. And we are brought to you by Resorts World, our proud partner, where I'll be for our Thursday night football show at Doghouse. So if you're looking for a place to watch that opening night game, come join me. Resorts World. That's Doghouse Saloon. Great specials. That's where the sports book is. You got to come check it out. We used to be there on Mondays. Now we're there on Thursday night. Thursday night at Doghouse Saloon inside Resorts World.
Yeah, on the punt team, Tim DeWight ran back the punt return. I thought I was going to get fired on the spot with Marty Schottenheimer. So that was my welcome to the NFL moment, even though it wasn't my fault. I'm out there with the other 10 gentlemen, but that was a little scary moment. But I think for all these gentlemen, especially our rookies and some of our young players, man, just I think the cool thing about our team and our group is how they've rallied around one another and kind of set the expectations of what to expect, but you don't know what it's like to expect. Week one, I always say week one, the opening week of the playoffs and Super Bowl, those are two different speeds. Those are a lot of different speeds of football, and it really shows up for some of the younger guys, and hopefully we prep them the way we prepare and practice. And I think they got some really good reps in the preseason. So now that it's going to be amped up a little bit and the guy across from you is the real deal.
Antonio Pierce, we interviewed him earlier today, and you'll hear that tomorrow here on the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, one of the most influential sports talk hosts of all time, former voice of the Chargers, kind enough to join us ahead of this game that takes place in L.A. on Sunday. Lee, great to talk to you again, and it feels like a big game. Nance and Romo are on the call. Harbaugh, Pearson, a lot of new players. How do you see it?
JT, good to chat with you. Oh, you ready for some football? What a way to start this season. These two longtime bitter AFC West rivals. Important game for both, obviously. Storyline with the Chargers, obviously, the arrival of Harbaugh, the relationship with Justin Herbert, the new general manager trying to change the culture of the team by virtue of the draft and what he's doing in terms of shuffling people on and off the roster, having come from the Baltimore Ravens, talking about Joe Ortiz. A lot of question marks, obviously, with the Bolts. They do have the quarterback back, three number one draft picks in the offensive line. Pass block well in preseason, didn't run block worth a lick in preseason. No running back, Austin Eckler's gone. No tight end, Gerald Everett's gone. Top two veteran wide receivers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams gone. A lot of questions to be answered. That being said, Harbaugh has won everywhere he's been, has great impacts on quarterbacks, changes the culture of the team. It's going to be a very, very different roster. The intangible to look forward to on Sunday, that's your quarterback? They're coming after him. What the hell are you going to do about it? They got seven pass rushers, led by Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and they got all kinds of athletes on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm just fascinated by all the storylines from the Charger perspective. And your perspective, your quarterback, the gunslinger, how do you replace Josh Jacobs? Will they protect that quarterback so he can get the ball to the greatness of all your receiving core? And I think the addition of Christian Wilkins just makes that defense so dynamically different and much tougher. So you asked the question, I just gave you my scouting report.
Yeah, that's a good scouting report. And with Eckler and Mike Williams being gone and Keenan Allen, you know they have good younger players that are coming in, and Harbaugh gets to coach this team. Lee, it's playing a trick on my brain. I know that the Chargers want to run the ball in this game, considering the tackles they have and what they've done on the offensive line, but I've seen Herbert throw it so many times in the Las Vegas Raiders edition that he's been a part of. So going into this game, do you think that Harbaugh is going to want to establish the run and overdo it? Or is he going to let Herbert call a game? Because we heard he was in a boot. He didn't get much reps in the offseason, let alone camp in the preseason. What should we expect from Justin Herbert?
I think you play to the strength, JT. I think you open it up, and I think you let him be who he is, and then you run off of who he is. You know, they've got, obviously, two wide running backs who came from Baltimore, but both of those guys, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, have come off major injuries. Neither one played during preseason at all. Like I said, they didn't run block worth a lick in the preseason, and they played the number one unit up front a lot. That being said, they got three first-round draft picks. I think they're going to get progressively better. But to answer your question, I think you play to the strength. The burning question I have, and I didn't get an answer when I asked it on the Zoom call with the coaches, is does Justin Herbert make everybody better, so therefore you're not worried about having all those young guys at wide receiver because you've got Justin Herbert at quarterback? Or do the wide receivers, the Josh Palmers of the world and last year's number one pick who didn't do anything, Quentin Johnston, and this year's number two pick, Ladd McConkey, are these guys going to have to prove themselves when they line up against veteran corners and safeties? So I didn't get an answer there. I tend to think Herbert makes everybody better because he's so doggone accurate and he's got a gun for an arm. So I'll be fascinated to see how the Charger wide receivers hold up against everything that the Raiders are going to do defensively. And what Herbert does he throw, does he hand off? And what the Chargers do they come out personality or they play to the strength of their best player, which is the quarterback?
Lee Hacksaw Hamilton's our guest. You know, when Josh Jacobs was shut down at the end of the year for injury, Zamir White came in out of Georgia. So he played at Georgia with a lot of great players and ran the ball respectively well the last four games. Lee, you've seen a lot of players. This guy's thighs are the size of tree trunks. He's big. He's strong. When he hits the line, he pounds people and pushes them forward. And with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, first time in this 12-personnel system, do you think the Raiders are going to rely heavily on their running game?
Zamir's got to prove he can do it.
Yeah.
And by the way, your offensive line has to prove that they can do it, because they think the offensive front, for the most part, aside from your star left tackle, has been rather deficient over the last group of years. So there's questions that have to be answered for the guys wearing the silver and black. There's no doubt that White's a physical specimen, but if there's no holes because they can't run block, then he's got a problem. But we'll see. We'll see if they move the pile. You know, there's part of me that really likes Minshew. I think he's got a little gunslinger in him. I think that's cool. You know, I think he's played 49 games. I think he's thrown 54 touchdowns. I think he's thrown 24 interceptions. But he's taken 108 sacks, and I think he's fumbled the ball 30 times. Man, he makes plays, but he makes mistakes. So can they refine him in the system? Now, he's going to have some pretty good people. But I love your skill guys. From Devontae to Jacoby to, obviously, Brock Bowers to Mike Mayers. I like your skill guys, but can they protect Minshew? Can Minshew get the ball on the mark and not make mistakes? That's why they're going to play the game on Sunday, so we start getting answers to all of our checklists.
How good could Joe Alt be? I mean, they take him high overall. We know that. To set the tone to be a bully and to have that type of player there. You mentioned the Raiders, they have Colt Miller, but Colt Miller's a good player, but Joe Alt was drafted to be better and be an elite perennial Pro Bowler. So with the offensive line, take me through Joe Alt and what he's going to look like in his first ever game, going up not only against Max Crosby, but Malcolm Kuntz had a big year quietly for the Raiders last year. That pass rush for the Raiders is coming.
Oh, I'll sign that memo. And I think Wilkins makes everything different. I mean, he and your other defensive tackle, that's a load to try to run against. And Wilkins, you know, we were kind of biased out here because of Aaron Donald's greatness with the Rams. Doggone Wilkins on the East Coast with Miami, he disrupted everything. And that was big guy who could get off the ball and penetrate, and he did it consistently. It wasn't they did it three plays and then they was gassed. He took a lot of snaps. So I think Wilkins and your other defensive tackle thereby makes Crosby and Kuntz even more dangerous. And I like your two linebackers. My question is, what have you got in the secondary, or is Nate Hobbs and those guys going to be able to hold up? But Alt played a lot of snaps, and he had, I think, in the three preseason games, I think he had one bad play in three preseason games, and he averaged, I want to say, about 20 snaps with the number one unit in each of the games. That's pretty doggone impressive. And, of course, he was a left tackle who's flipped to right tackle. He did not seem to miss a beat, and he's massive. He's just, JT, he is so freaking big, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And they moved last year's right tackle, Trey Pipkins, inside the right guard so he didn't have to play out in space, and he's looked like a bully. So, but they didn't run block very well. They pass blocked pretty well in preseason, so can't wait to see Alt versus Max Crosby. Wow.
That's going to be a fun matchup. Wrapping it up with Hacksaw. Lee, how'd they get Jim Harbaugh? You know, behind the scenes from Alex Spanos before and Dean Spanos and the family and, you know, moving into Stan Kroenke's building, what Mark Davis has built in Vegas now at the Super Bowls. Saw how many LSU fans came out. And I'm still looking at Harbaugh saying there wasn't more for him. He settled on the Chargers, but it could have massive upside because it's the number two media market in Los Angeles going up against LeBron James and all those other brands there. What was the essence behind the deal and how Spanos convinced Chargers Harbaugh to take the job?
Item one, he left Ann Arbor before the sheriff got there.
Yes, yes.
You know, item two, he's been, in a sense, indicted on major violations twice. You know, item three, he's already been sanctioned by the NCAA, and we're still waiting for the fallout against Michigan now for the aftermath of the Spygate case that he had to know somewhat of. His coordinators might have operated it. Maybe he didn't know specifics, but that coach knows everything about everything on his players, and so he was leaving because this was going to happen. And he had been in Southern California. He liked the Life Beach style. He wasn't going to go to Three Mile Island where they had no quarterback. Justin Herbert, ideal. And they gave him a lot of money. And they gave him freedom. to actually work with Joe Ortiz, who he knew from Baltimore through his brother John Harbaugh. So there was just a lot of connected dots that made an awful lot of sense. The plus to Harbaugh, guy has won everywhere he's been. He's changed the culture. He's done a phenomenal job. The downside to Harbaugh, he wears people out. Every one of his relationships, be it at the University of San Diego in small college football, to what he became at Stanford, to what he did in San Francisco, by the time they got to the finish line, man, it was like barbed wire rolled down the hallway. How he acted and how people responded to how he acted, he kind of wore out his welcome a whole bunch of places. But end of the day, resume speaks volumes, and he's got a quarterback. It's not Three Mile Island out here. So it's going to be fun to see how quickly they grow it. In the big picture, if you're asking me, I think a year from today, JT, when we're talking about the next Charger-Raider game at the start of the season, this will be a better team because another year of a Ortiz-Harbaugh draft, I think, is going to bring them great depth and great benefits. Their draft this year, a lot of these guys are going to play right out of the gate. But Harbaugh's different. He's cut from a different cloth. You deal with him, it's just be prepared. It's like a tent revival speech. Now, it's going to take some time for him to grow the entire roster, but as long as you've got the trigger man, I think you're in good shape.
Lee HacksawHamilton.com, one man's opinion. Lee, tell everybody about the depth and strength of this website. One of the best. I have it up here every day.
I write on it every day. It's there first thing for breakfast. Want you to check it out. Do the podcast Mondays and Thursdays, 1 p.m. West Coast time. You can subscribe. It's always up on my YouTube channel, and we cover anything and everything. It's just Lee HacksawHamilton.com. Looking forward to the NFL season, JT. Hope we get a chance to chat again.
You got it. There he is, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Thank you, Lee. Fantastic. And a guy who knows the rivalry between the Raiders and the Chargers back to the AFL as good as anyone on God's green earth. That guy there. One big takeaway from the interview before we came back. There's an opportunity to beat the Chargers now before Lee says they get really, really good. I agree with that. That's why I think this is such an important game. Now, we're all hoping in Raider Nation that the Raiders continue to get better. And, you know, the quarterback question is going to be there. And Raiders aren't going to get respect until Gardner Minshew plays great and he quiets down all the critics, or the Raiders get a franchise quarterback in the future. Whatever's going to happen there. And that franchise quarterback could be Aiden O'Connell if he comes in and plays great. But as Lee said, the quarterback is the issue. The Chargers have a very good one. But he doesn't win a lot of games, and he loses big games, and the Raiders got to hope that he loses this game because he's not ready to go. He didn't have a valued preseason. He didn't play much. He was in the boot. He wasn't out there with the ones, and there's got to be a little bit of rust coming into this game. I'm happy he's playing. I'm happy he's healthy. That Easton Stick was a bum, the guy that they had out there, terrible player. So Herbert's going to play. Nobody knows how he's going to play in this game, even Tony Romo, who's calling the game on CBS. When we come back, Levi Edwards will join us as we wrap up the show. If you'd like to get in, 702-365-9200 as we continue. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. I'm in the Raider facility today, and there's a Raising Cane's not too far when I leave today. I'm going to pick up some Cane's for my son. One's in college, one's at home. He's a Caniac. We're always talking about Raising Cane's. And I got an opportunity for you to come see me coming up Saturday. I'll tell you about that next.
Chelsea now, pass to Asia, jumper on the way. You got that right. 22 has now got 27, and she's eclipsed her average.
Aces highlight here, considering we're in the Raiders building and Mark Davis owns the Aces, and Levi Edwards joins us from the Raiders digital team wearing a WNBA Aces shirt. Is that accurate there?
This is the 2023 WNBA championship shirt right here.
Get up to that mic there close. We got you good. So that's from the champs, who are going for a three-peat now and looked pretty good last night.
They look great. Asia Wilson is, you know, by far the best player in the world right now. So with her and that supporting cast still doing their thing, the sky's the limit. It's going to be hard, but they can do it.
You were downstairs for Antonio Pierce's press conference today. It was an interesting press conference. There are a lot of personal questions about him, and he turned it around and said, this isn't about me. This is about the Raiders. I like that. When I interviewed him before that, he was really focused on this game. You could tell he's looking at his schedule going, I got a lot of work to do before we get on that plane. What is the energy like in this building with this roster?
Really, the energy, and AP really emphasized it today. Let's not make the moment too big. You know, it's week one, and everybody has nerves and jitters, and obviously it's a good team that they're playing against a good coach that they're playing against. And so it's really just let's keep the main thing, something AP said, less is more. So he's really focusing on just making sure everyone knows what they're doing, everybody plays fast, everybody plays with high energy, and just gets after it. And so that's really been the energy in the locker room of just doing what you're supposed to do, having fun, playing free.
We didn't see a lot of Brock Bowers the last couple of weeks. What can we expect? He kind of shut everybody down. Bowers is ready to go. Said it a couple of times. It was a 2-3 sentence answer. He's ready to play. I like that because a lot of people around the league are wondering and coming off fantasy drafts and Bowers and what he could do. So tell me about Bowers and the install that you saw out in Costa Mesa and how we'll have an impact in this game.
Well, first, one small thing that you just said about fantasy drafts. I've had maybe 20,000 people hit me up on my phone the past week about whether you should draft Brock Bowers or not. So I'm just going to put that to bed to anybody out there. Stop texting me. Brock Bowers is that guy. He's nice. He is going to line up anywhere you want him to on the field in terms of not trying to give away too much schematically, obviously. But he's a guy, when you drafted him at tight end, he's not necessarily a tight end. He's a hybrid kind of player. So he's going to be someone that's going to be outside, at wide out. He's going to be a guy that's going to be inline tight end, maybe a little bit of fullback. He's going to do a lot. And so not only just from a fantasy perspective, but also from just an offensive perspective of how he fits within the Raiders scheme, it's going to be really good just to see him do what he does. And obviously he's a rookie and there's going to be growing pains, but to have a guy like that back in your offense for week one, it's big.
That's what I'm most excited about. Levi Edwards in studio. He'll join us every Wednesday as the show will stream live on YouTube, the Raiders YouTube page. I know what Devontae can do, Jacoby can do. I got an understanding of Mayer and Brock. I just don't know how they're going to fit together. I want to see routes that are crossing routes. I want to see, as you said, Brock lining up in the slot or wide. I want to see how unique Luke Getsy can get in the Charger game. We're talking Chargers today. To really throw everything at the Chargers defense and say, you heard about these guys, but you haven't seen anything because we haven't put anything up on film.
I 100% agree, and it's going to be a challenge just in terms of how much volume will both of those guys get. Because obviously they were both very big targets in the preseason. They were both big targets within training camp. Definitely two guys that can get open. Definitely two guys that can pass catch. But there's only so many balls that can go around, especially with Devontae and Jacoby and Trey Tucker proving he can be a big-time playmaker. So it's really going to be exciting to see how those two tight ends get together. But from everything that I've heard, everything that I've seen, they're very confident in their abilities, and they're very confident that they're going to be able to make it work with each other and be that really nice 1-2 punch and 12 personnel that's really going to make it work.
We just had a guest on to break down the Chargers, and he talked about their offensive line and what they do up front with Slater and Alt. You know, Alt hasn't played an NFL game yet, so we'll see what happens. I don't think the game is going to be too big for him, but they're going to want to run the ball with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. How strong are they? Are they running up the middle in this game, or are they going to attack the edges of Kuntz and Max Crosby? What's the best way for the Chargers to maybe run away from Big John Jenkins and what we're going to see up front with our new addition there? I just wonder what we're going to see. Christian Wilkins has got to be a run stuffer in this game and get the Chargers into some third and eights, third and sevens, so they're pass predictable.
Well, you look at what our defensive line, you know, entails, and honestly, it would be kind of foolish to run on the outside because Max Crosby has proven to be one of, if not the best, run-stopping defensive ends in the league. And Malcolm Kuntz isn't too shabby off that edge. He's been able to improve as a run-stopper. And even when you have in those rotational pieces like Janarius Robinson and Tyree Wilson, they are pretty solid run-stoppers as well as edge rushers. So really, the Chargers, they're going to want to attack the middle of the field. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. We know what he likes to do with his running backs and his scheme. He likes to run it up the gut and really catch defenses off track. So it's going to be a big day for Christian Wilkins because he's a guy who is an exceptional talent in the league. However, he has a reputation of being a pass rushing tackle. Same thing with Adam Butler. They are guys that are more known for getting after the quarterback, pass rushing. But what does that run stop look like? And against a team that we know will run the ball, we need to see how that's going to look.
Levi Edwards, I'll tell you this. You and I both talked off the air. It just feels like this is the biggest game the biggest game, I will say, I don't want to say in Las Vegas Raiders history to start the season, because we had some big ones, beating Drew Brees, beating Lamar. You know, some of the games that we had early with or without fans were really big, but they were home. Yeah. On the road, we beat Denver last year, and that was Jimmy Garoppolo sliding in bounds on third down to end that game. This one has just felt much bigger to me all offseason because of what lies ahead for them, and as this could be a tone setter for what could come for the Raiders on the upside.
There's so much, like I said earlier to you off air, is it really does feel like a must win, and there's been some big games, like you said, with Baltimore. That was a huge tone setter, and this has the same feeling. One, because it's a divisional opponent, so you're always going to be juiced up for someone that's in your division, and you need to win those divisional games if you want to even sniff at the playoffs. And on top of that, the last time the Raiders played the Chargers, it was a 63-piece.
Right.
63-piece platter. So obviously they're going to want to come back from that, you know, with a vengeance as well. So there's just a lot of animosity built into this game. When you look at the Raiders' top half of that schedule, it's not going to get easy when you have the Ravens and you have the Browns and you have the Steelers and you have the Chiefs. It's not going to be too many easy games moving forward for the Raiders. So you have to set the tone right here. And I feel like there's not a better opportunity than to go to Los Angeles, where AP is from, where this team used to be, and really set the tone.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to win the game on special teams. Last one, Carlson is a weapon. A.J. Cole can flip the field. A.J. can do a lot of things in this game. I mean, the Raiders could get pinned in their own 20, and he could kick it Coffin's corner out at the 15 and make Herbert go the long way. Do you think this looks like a low-scoring game with the Raiders? Because we don't know what the kick return's going to look like. It was very vanilla in the preseason, but do the Raiders have a strong enough special teams here where they can win the game in that category? Because I think that's what it's going to take.
Absolutely. When you look at what the Raiders were able to do in the preseason, it might not be the sexiest thing in the world, but the strength was special teams. When you saw, you know, Daniel Carlson knocking down 50-yarders like his routine, A.J. Cole still proving he's the best punter in the NFL. You have Tyreek McAllister with the speed, able to do his thing. You have D.J. Turner, one of the better gunners coming up. Trey Tucker with his speed. Special teams for us is definitely one of our strong suits. And it's something that you have to attack, especially going into week one, where you're going to have some rust on defense. You're going to have some rust on offense. That's going to be for both teams. Mm-hmm. Both of these teams are going to have a couple of, you know, we're not at midseason form yet. It's week one. So there's going to be a couple of, you know, stagnant moments. So special teams is really going to have to step up and set the tone.
Have a good trip to L.A., my friend. Counting on you bringing one back.
I hope so. I've never won a game in L.A.
Ooh.
So, I'm waiting on it. I believe anytime I've gone to SoFi that is regular season, I have lost. So,
uh-oh, you threw that out. I did not throw that out. Now it's going to be the win for Levi.
I hope so.
It better be, because we're not going to have you come back with that type of streak. Streaks are meant to be broken.
That is actually very true. Goodbye. That is fact.
Good
appreciate
job,
you, JT.
There he is, Levi Edwards. He'll be joining us as we get this live stream going, which I've been really excited about. Today was an interesting day. So we got here. We're trying to figure out Coach Pierce's new schedule with this week's game, and he was going to talk to the media, but he was kind enough to say he wanted to come in with me first, and he sat down here with me for about 12 minutes. We're going to have that for you tomorrow. And that was just him and myself sitting there. We put that on TV. That'll be on the TV shows, and you'll see that streaming. Then we're going to figure out when we're going to do this, when the team's on the road, when they're starting early. But we're going to have the show ready every Wednesday. And Wednesday is going to sound different than Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, it'll be the coach, hopefully live or close to being live. It'll be an insider like Levi Edwards and Vinny Bonsignor and a player. Hopefully we get a player mixed in there, too. So there'll be about four of the six segments that'll have guests along the way, and we'll just have a nice conversation. And we'll put that up on YouTube. We'll have a live chat going. My YouTube page will be up and running, JT the Brick YT. But this is big boy YouTube now as we're moving over to the Raiders exclusively on Wednesdays. So I'm going to be in the building, it looks like, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or at least Monday, Wednesday. And then we'll get this all going by the end of the beginning of next week, because we got more work to do this week. We got two more shows coming up tomorrow, and we got some great insiders that are lined up for that. So that's it. Again, I told you it's my 25-year wedding anniversary tonight. I'm getting the hell out of here. Going to dive in the pool, cool off, get ready, go out to a nice dinner celebration with my wife tonight, celebrate 25 years, and on for another 25, hopefully. Keep it going. Appreciate the Raiders having me here today. Meant a lot. to kind of make this the pilgrim voyage of what we're trying to do going forward. Bobby put the show together. Thanks to Bobby, as always. Thanks to Vinny Bonsignor, Antonio Pierce, who you'll hear tomorrow, Levi Edwards, and Hacksaw. Man, Hacksaw was good. Q's coming up. He was here all day, too, at the press conference. He asked great questions. You're going to hear about it on his show coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow back in studio at Lotus, and we'll get up on that YouTube stream and get everybody back here. Have a great night, great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.